This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio is looking for ways to change the community's health habits. It's one of the goals for Mayor Julian Castro's Vision 2020 program. And we've seen developments like new biking lanes, running trails, ciclovia, health screenings, and promotoros around town. But is this working? Bexar County is still high on the list for so many negative health issues. What more can be done? And is it even possible? Are these unhealthy habits too ingrained in our San Antonio culture? We invite you to join the conversation. Give us a call, 614-8980. You can also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. You can go to the comment section on our website, tpr.org, or you can send us a tweet on Twitter. My guest this half hour is Dr. Thomas Schlinker. He's the director of the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District. And so, Doctor, thank you so much. Welcome for being here on The Source.
Good to be here, and thanks for having us.
So, people, you know, we know that San Antonio could be doing a lot better in these health lists and categories. What is the assessment? What do you say about San Antonio's overall health assessment?
Well, I would say that there are a number of reasons to really celebrate the good things that are happening. There's some dark clouds also. Clearly, there's a lot to be done in the future, and we're still building some basic infrastructure to even know if we're going in the right direction. But, you know, it's kind of across the board, different things are happening in different sectors.
Well, let's talk about diabetes for... That's pretty widespread. It's a chronic issue that we have in San Antonio, right?
It is. It's a chronic issue. It's sort of the worst outcome of overall obesity epidemic that we are suffering here in San Antonio, as is all of the United States. We have gotten amazingly overweight over the past 20, 30 years, and the If you just look at a graph of the United States, it's completely shocking. Texas now, as an entire state, is about 30% of the entire population is obese. And 20 years ago, it was around 10%. So the trend is really going in the wrong direction, and it continues year after year. And here in San Antonio, we perhaps have it a bit worse than elsewhere, and certainly our diabetes rates are very scary. The most recent data suggests about 14% of the population is medication-dependent diabetic.
So they have to take insulin?
They have to take either insulin or oral pills to keep their blood sugar down, on a daily basis, just to manage their disease. And long term, the complications that result are just extremely unfortunate.
And people who have that level of diabetes, is that avoidable, manageable, if we had a control of the obesity?
Yes, in many cases, it is avoidable and manageable. And even if it can be delayed, even if the complications can be delayed a few years, it has a tremendous benefit to it. But it requires work and kind of creative, innovative approaches. It's not just the medication. It's many other things.
And many people are looking, like, what's the cause? Why is San Antonio almost four times the national average when it comes to obesity and things?
No, we're not four times the national average in obesity. We're
Or amputations, four times the national average.
Okay, so that's sort of the end product of many, many processes, and that is a bit of a mystery to me, actually, but something that's important enough that we need to get to the bottom of. These are among diabetics who are insulin dependent, who progress to actually losing one or more limbs, and that is very high in San Antonio. It's unclear why. Most likely it has to do with poor management, but that can have many causes, and we need to figure that out and address it.
But usually the amputations from diabetes comes from when diabetes reaches advanced stages.
That's right. That's right. Diabetes over a long period of time damages the smaller blood vessels of your body that carry the blood and the oxygen to the tissues so that your appendages, your fingers and your toes begin to lose circulation, and they eventually just die and would fall off. But here we amputate. The same result, though, and it just diminishes someone's life, and they have nothing better to look forward to in the future, because if they lost one toe this month, they'll probably lose another in the next month.
What about ocular degeneration, blindness from that?
And blindness occurs for the same reason. The tiny blood vessels that feed the retina of your eye also more or less coagulate, and you gradually lose eyesight, and many become completely blind.
So people have to be made really aware of the risk of, you know, if you could pass up on the sweet tea, choose the tea that's unsweetened and learn to love that, then maybe down the line you won't be faced with these horrible consequences.
Well, you know, there's many, many steps, and I'm not a big fan of large sugary drinks, and if there was one thing that that would probably do the most good to eliminate, it would be large sugary drinks. But it's more than that, too. It's diet in general. It's physical exercise. It's leading an active and social lifestyle. It's medical management. And it's not just a lack of information. A lot of people have a very good idea of what they're up against, but still can't seem to get it under control.
Yeah, it's so easy to get judgmental and just, you know, pass on the French fries, don't do that, eat healthy, exercise. People, we have obstacles. We have to build this infrastructure that you mentioned earlier. How do we do that?
Yes, we're putting a lot of emphasis on the built environment. You can, as a physician, I can tell, an elderly woman to go out and walk around the block a few times every night. But if it's not safe for her to do that, if she doesn't feel comfortable doing it alone and maybe needs some friends to do it with, if there's no streetlights or sidewalks, then that's probably an obstacle that she's not going to be able to overcome. So the physical and the social environment that we live in has a great deal to do with it.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Schleicher of the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District. We're inviting you to call in and join the conversation about San Antonio's healthy habits, how do we get more. The number to call is 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. We're talking with Dr. Thomas Schleicher, the director of San Antonio Metropolitan Health District, talking about San Antonio's health habits. Can we become a healthy city? If you got a question or a comment, some ideas about how we can turn things around here in San Antonio or continue a positive trend, give us a call, 614-8980. And before you came to San Antonio, Doctor, you were in Madison.
Madison, correct? Wisconsin, yes.
So how do we compare between the two cities in regards to, maybe they have health challenges there too?
They do, but very, very different. Madison is a much smaller town, university town, capital of Wisconsin, a lot of white-collar workers, and I kind of joke that you needed a PhD to drive a cab there. So it's very different in many ways, and also I think different in terms of fitness and general health consciousness, which is at a lower level here, unfortunately, but I think it's something we can aspire to.
Well, one big difference between our city and theirs, Madison, is it gets so hot here in the summertime.
I've noticed.
It comes back to what you mentioned earlier. that you really can't get outside during the summertime to walk or exercise until the sun goes down. And then maybe the neighborhood is not safe enough to, or the park may not be safe enough. So if we have those amenities improved, or and I know there's been some effort in those areas, then people are more likely to take advantage of them.
Well, that's our hope, and I think we're really seeing that. You know, the Parks Department is doing a better job of getting the pools open earlier in the season and making them more available to people. I think community centers where people can be indoors and other kinds of indoor exercises is important. And then during the hot summer months, you're right, it's either early in the morning or late at night if you want to be outside and exercise. So we have to make it safe and reasonable to do that kind of thing.
All right, well, let's go to the phones. We're going to take a call from Rosie, and you're on the air on The Source, Rosie. Rose?
Hi. Yes. Dr. Thomas has mentioned that there have been, he doesn't know why there haven't been any studies made on what the problem is or the reasons why San Antonio is so high in obesity and diabetes amputations. Are there no studies available, no grants that we can find out why?
All right, thank you for your call, Rose. And Dr. Toms.
Well, you know, in a sense, we know why. In a general sense, it's because of poor diet and lack of physical activity. But why should San Antonio be worse than other places, I think, is what you're asking. And it is clear that we have kind of a special diet here. And that is something that I would like to look into in a scientific and serious way to find out what part that plays in being overweight. And also, I have the personal belief that it's not just what's in food that makes us fat, but the fact that we eat so many meals out and that we don't prepare food ourselves, and that so many families seem to have lost the ability or the desire or the skills to make food at home and have
fresh
family
food
meals.
From scratch.
Fresh food from scratch.
Like, not from a box.
Not from a box. Mom and dad are there in the kitchen making it for the kids, and they sit down together and eat it together. I think that's disappearing, and that's a big part of the problem.
Yeah, but people don't have that Leave It to Beaver sort of family unit anymore. You know, people are on the run. Maybe it's a single-parent household. They're struggling to survive.
That's true. That's true. And a lot of times both parents are working. There's just not the time. But somehow we have to figure that out, because it's not healthy to just go to McDonald's on the default.
And let's see here. We'll try and get this next caller on here. Liz has something to say about that. Liz, you're on the air. What's your comment?
Yes, I want to say basically it's exactly that. I live on the south side of San Antonio. I love my side of town, but pretty much when they're building something new, it's a fast food restaurant. I live in a rural part, mostly off of 410, yet there's, in 1 mile radius, there's a 5 taquerias, there's a McDonald's, a Subway, and a Jack in the Box. And I also wanted to say I did a nursing internship at Southwest General Hospital a few years ago, and pretty much no matter what area of the hospital that I went to, the doctors were treating diabetics, giving them insulin shots in the nursing ward, taking care of their diabetes in the hyperbaric chamber, and then removing toes in the operating room. I saw that it just seemed like there was pretty much, let's treat it, but let's not talk about what the issue is and how you got there in the first place. So I'll take comments off the air. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Liz. Great comments. And doctor?
Yeah, unfortunately, she is so right, and it's so tragic that we there's such a huge industry built around treating end-stage diabetes when
a lot of dialysis places around
dialysis, vision care, amputations, you know, prostheses, wheelchair companies, you know, People are in the industry are doing well on this, but what we really need to do is keep people out of the hospital and out of the system, healthy at home.
So these things can be avoided, and I think that's what Mary wants to talk about. Mary, you're on the air. You're on The Source.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a registered nurse. I do home health here in San Antonio, and we do a lot of teaching in the home. That's primarily, we do wound care, of course, as well, things like that, but every visit we are told we have to instruct on their disease processes, which we do. In the long run, the majority of the time, they still choose to continue making poor choices. They don't follow up with their doctors. They don't follow up with the wound care center. They continue to eat the diet that they have been eating their entire life that has led them to this point. And we've taught them, you know, you can't do that because of this. And, you know, teach them alternative. But in the long run, unfortunately, the majority of them still choose to make bad choices.
All right, Mary, thank you for that call.
You know, you can't dispute what Mary says. A lot of times, one-on-one teaching fails. And we've been thinking a lot about that in Metro Health and have a lot of faith in for individuals who can't seem to make the right choices themselves. Many of them actually can if they're in a group setting and they have the support of people who are like them.
And there's like a development of these promotoras.
Yes,
and
yes.
These are like neighborhood advocates of health.
Yes, some of our promotoras within Metro Health have been teaching group diabetes management classes, like a 12-week curriculum in community settings, centers and churches and other places right in neighborhoods where people who live within a certain area and have the same issues and problems kind of help each other through it. And it's amazing that they can often accomplish as a group what they could not as individuals.
And they teach healthy substitutes for cooking and diet and...
Yeah, it's the same teaching, but...
And there are people from the neighborhood.
Yes, yes.
So we need to focus more on that. We'll do a show on that later. Let's go back now to the phones. John, you're on the air. Welcome to The Source.
Hi, nice talking with y'all. I have two quick things. I'm a guy, and I'm trying to get in shape right now, and I got two friends, and we basically had a bet. We said, who can lose the most weight, you know, in a healthy way in 1 month? And we put some money on it. And all three of us have been highly motivated by doing that. And my second point is that I play basketball, and I pay money to play in leagues around San Antonio. And I've stayed pretty healthy doing that. But I don't understand why there aren't some – the city spends all this money on building gyms and building all this stuff. Why not have some type of – health, like a fitness league where there's a reward at the end? Because when people get competitive, then they start doing things. And it could be anything from dad walked 5 miles, your team gets 5 points. If your kid's in a league, he gets 2 points. And, you know, the team out of 10 who does the best, you know, wins. But then they win like $400 or they win, you know, money at HEB or something where they can spend money where someone could sponsor it. And I think you could get people more involved because it's just, it's not cool in San Antonio to go work out.
All right, John, thank you for that call. So he's saying don't regulate, motivate.
I got to agree. And we need to make it cool. We need to make it part of the culture that people are active and physical and try to keep in good shape. And I love the idea of, you know, setting up little competitions and little rewards.
Like Biggest Loser type things.
Yeah, something like that.
We had the HEB Slim Down thing recently.
Yep. I think that's really good. And next this Saturday, actually, I'm going to be playing in a Rotango tournament, which most people don't know what that is, but that's sort of a form of street tennis. And I can see that popping up all over the city, and it's easy enough that anybody can play it, and we could have tournaments and just get people out there active.
Okay, well, let's go back now to the phones. And Nancy, you're on the air. You've got a story to share.
Yes, hi. Thank you. I'd like to share that a few years ago, I oversaw a grant from the Texas Department of Agriculture for one of the elementary schools on the south side of San Antonio. It was, I believe, about 15, 18-month grant where students were exposed to fresh fruits and vegetables on a daily basis. I say daily, to manage the budget, it was like 3 to 5 times per day, ongoingly throughout the school year, in different settings, primarily in the classroom. And the students were exposed to, let's just say, red pears or, you know, the baby carrots or cucumber slices, et cetera, every day. They didn't know what they were going to get.
Right.
They would hear that.
So, Nancy, we're almost out of time. So it sounds like you're saying that when you expose kids to healthy eating, that they will love it.
Yes, but in particular, it's the support of the community, because together they experimented with eating a red pear or a new type of a nectarine, and the teacher was also modeling it in front of them, and it was a school-wide basis.
Awesome.
And so it supported embracing the behavior of eating it.
Okay, well, Nancy, thank you so much. I appreciate your call. And Dr. Tom, what's your reaction to that?
Absolutely. And last year, the health department put over 140 salad bars in schools across San Antonio, and not only put them there, but they taught the kitchen staff how to, like, display and promote it. And I've been back there, and the kids actually like the stuff, and they're eating it.
Well, we just ran out of time. We had so many great phone calls. Obviously, there's a lot of enthusiasm and exuberance in the community to do something about this. So we're going to have to come back to this topic and talk about some of these other health issues that we have in the city we didn't even get to. And so thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Tom, director of the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with The Source after the news.